physical round ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share, with intuition as their guiding cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl, metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations.
Good morning. It is the 9th of September, and we are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and we're 36 weeks out of 52 weeks into the year. And we are going to be taking readings today at 7:15 to 7:35 Pacific. If you'd like to call in with an in-depth question, you can call in on 857-232-0155, extension 870303. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870303. Good morning, Jay.
Hi, Carolyn. Good morning. How are you doing today?
How are you doing? I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good as well. Yeah? I'm still drinking my coffee over here and waking myself up.
Yes, you got the 2 cups of coffee today.
I did.
I just wanted two.
I needed
two
to make sure. I had to be extra ready.
That's right. Okay, so if they want to ask an in-depth question in the chat room, what would they do?
They would head on over to
conversation. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Head on over to 12radio.com. That's the number 12radio.com. Click on the chat button. That opens up a brand new window into Facebook, and it's going to open up a private Facebook group with the same name, 12radio. Once you become a member, we'll approve you while we're live on the air, and you'll see the banner pop up at the top of the page, Metaphysical Conversations, and then underneath is where the conversation's happening in the chat. So you can place your comments, your questions there. And did you already mention how to get us on the phone?
I did. I did mention that, but wow. But we can also too, if you call in, you can also ask for an in-depth reading, or you can just add to the conversation. And as well, you can do that, of course, in the chat room, which you guys always do. So that's good.
Totally.
Today we're going to be talking about feeling like a misfit, and why that may happen, and maybe even some ideas too about how to step out of it. I feel like everybody at one time or another in their life has been feeling like a misfit, but we'll look at some common things that might make us feel like that, and how we don't quite fit in, and one of them is just having different interests. If you have hobbies or passions that are uncommon or not shared by those around you, it can make you feel like an out of place, right?
It can make us feel like we're strange for liking something that it's seemingly other people don't care about or aren't concerned with. And so we can definitely feel like we're out there if we're really paying attention to or caring about something that other people don't seem to find important or don't find invaluable.
Yeah, and you don't seem to match with what they're doing. Social awkwardness is another thing, and you may be struggling with social interactions, like not knowing how to join conversations or feeling uncomfortable in groups. That can create kind of a sense of feeling like a misfit. I was just at a wine and women group the other day, and I had a conversation going to my left and to my right, and then the gal on the right left. And the gal on the left moved. So I was sitting alone, and I decided it's time for me to go. So I did have a really good time up until that point, but it was like, it kind of outlines you when you're suddenly feeling like a misfit, right?
Well, especially if you feel like you're getting physical confirmation that you are, even whether that's true or not, but just when you feel like you're getting that physical thing show up, and it makes it seem like, oh gosh, maybe I am the odd man out here, or woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I had good conversations with both sides, but you know, when you look to the left and to the right, and there's just nobody to talk to, everybody else is gathered on each direction. You know, it was an outdoor patio. Anyway, it was I was out of there. So social awkwardness can be another place where you feel it. And then let's see, what else? Unique appearance. How about somebody who has a unique appearance, maybe dressing or grooming or presenting yourself in a way that's different from the norm? And that can lead you also to feel like an outsider, right?
Absolutely. I mean, anything outside the typical dress or style of whatever's going on where you live can make you feel that way. And then the more you go outside that paradigm, it can be more and more. And some people, I feel, thrive in that difference. And then some people really want to be different, but they can't handle it because they're having to go up against their own inner voice or their own inner critic. But I feel like both are there, you know, in this situation where you are not, you know, easily fitting in and standing out, you know, for whatever reason, just standing out.
Yeah. And if you stand out like that, maybe one of the things is should be high on priority is really finding your tribe, you know, making sure that you check yourself into a place where you feel like you might have people who may even have a similar way, you know, to dress in a strange manner, right? I don't know whether that would be a punk look. Maybe is one of the things that you may like to dress like, and you don't feel like you fit in because of that. So, yeah, there's just different ways to really find your tribe and make sure that you have an outlet to go to have support. Past trauma and experiences can also have something you've gone through, your life experiences that others around you haven't gone through. That can make it hard too to relate to them because it can lead to a feeling of isolation, right?
It sure can. And it's so strange what makes us feel like either like a part of something or what can make us feel that feeling of feeling out like an outsider or ostracized or a misfit. And, you know, a lot of it too has to do with our own perspective of what we think is going on, along with what the other individual or the other group, you know, that we might be in might be witnessing or experiencing. So it's interesting, I think, from that perspective too, like how we could be seeing the situation and telling this our story about it, and then vice versa, you know, those that are also witness to it having their own experience. And sometimes I think it'd be interesting if we could hear what other people really thought instead of what we think they're thinking about us.
Is what you think you're thinking is, they say, is not your business, right? And you think that somebody else might think something of you, it's not your business. That's what they say to go with. So your business is to just make yourself as comfortable as possible and do your thing and be unique. Be your unique self. I mean, that's your job, is to be you, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I'm the only one that can do me. You're the only one that can do you. But for some reason, we have these people or these ways where we feel like we can step in and like you said, care so much about where that other person's coming from. And the more that I learn and tame my empathic side, you know, balance it out, the more I realize it's something that I don't have to pay attention to. I really don't. You know, I made myself pay attention to it. I made it my business, but it really wasn't my business. And it's like learning how to see the difference has really been helpful.
Yeah, somehow, sometimes we actually learn it and we can move forward. So that's good that you feel like you got through that part. The other thing is cults.
still working on it, but I see progress.
Okay. Yeah. Cultural differences. How about that one?
Definitely. And I don't think that it has to be the big deal that it sometimes can be. I think that it can be something that could bring us closer together versus driving us more individualized or separated. But unfortunately, I feel like it could still be something that can make people feel uncomfortable or make people question themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe that isn't a bad thing, especially if you have a belief that needs some updating or a way of seeing the world that might be outdated. You know, it could be also be an opportunity for us to update our understanding and our perspective. Maybe also
so
our...
you're kind of going into the unconventional thinking area.
Well, yeah, like not leaving, for me, it's about not leaving myself in that space where it would then build and build and build to, you know, turn into an even more uncomfortable situation or an even more, from my perspective, out of balance, energetic. So for me, I feel like the more I let myself go out of whack, I guess is the way that I'll say it, the more that I allow that to be, the more it can go further. And so I feel like it's important to be able to bring in that counter narrative voice that Mark talks about a lot, or other people talk about it, like parenting yourself, learning how to parent yourself, because that way we're not just left at the mercy of these sort of thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I mean, building your strengths is really what you need to be working on at that point. It's just really focusing on the strengths that you have and working with that. But what's an example of what happens with you when that's happened in the past?
For me, it's been more about, like, I guess where I've noticed it in where different kinds of people or different groups of people was when I was dealing with coming out gay and having it confront my Christian upbringing and beliefs and the group of people that I knew and like associated with. And I ended up like compartmentalizing myself and becoming two different versions of myself so I could be a part of both groups. And then I had to learn how, as I grew up, to decompartmentalize? I don't know, is that a word? Or undo those compartments?
Compartmentalize and decompartmentalize, yeah.
And
compartmentalize and decompartmentalize.
So it's like breaking that down so I was no longer a different person, but I could address the issue of where I stood within my Christian view and belief, where that put me with the people I was with as far as my friends and family, and then also the same with my being gay and being out in the world and how that was.
So you finally just decided, well, okay, this, you know, it's certain with certain people, I can still be me, but I have to just identify that they may not appreciate or they may not understand or they may not want to, you know, invest in conversation with me. But it's me that needs to be just me and not worry about what they think, right?
Well, exactly. It's like learning how to minimize this idea that I can even control them, even if I wanted to.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, kind of let go of the reins of feeling like I need to, A, get their approval, but B, like... Whereas it's almost like I felt like I had to get everything checked out or approved by everyone else. Like I couldn't have my own autonomy.
Right.
So real quick, I want to say hello to some folks in the chat. We have Renee joining us. She says, good morning, hi, Carolyn and Jay. Hi, Miss Renee. It's great to see you. And Ali Shea is joining us as well. She says, good morning, all. Good morning to you. Tara, she says, good morning.
Hi, Tara.
A perfect conversation for this morning, she says. Wow. Well, thank you, and we're excited you're here.
Yeah.
Lioness is here. She says, blessings, Carolyn and Jay.
Hi, Lioness.
Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you, Lioness, for being here. And Ali Shea says, LOL, this is my intro. I am bio. Quote, I am me. There is no one alive who is meer than me. Quote.
Who is it? Green Eggs and Ham. Isn't that from the same author as Green Eggs and Ham?
It sounds like
no one meer than me. Mm-hmm. That's cute. So introversion is another thing that can probably set you off to feel like a misfit if you're preferring solitude for the most part, or small intimate gatherings over large social events. And that can make you feel out of step with a more, you know, extroverted society. So introversion, you know, in this case too, you kind of have to sometimes build up to situations, or maybe what you do is you just decide, okay, I'm going to go for 10 minutes and see how I do. Right. So introversion is another place where you might feel a bit out of step.
That's a great point to mention, because I know that spoke to me in regards to being like a people pleaser and having to unwind that. It's like, it's a process to see what you're doing and then be able to like understand it and then start to make a decision. Okay, now that I know what I know about myself, making this particular choice or being an autopilot in this particular way, how can I begin to make different choices in those moments when it feels like either autopilot, like I didn't even have a chance to think about it, or I just reacted and I didn't have a chance to really bring my conscious awareness to it. And like you said, it's a process. Like it's like takes time to break down any autopilot sort of activities that we're having go on within us. And then like it is a process when we're building our awareness and understanding that first we do need to see things. We got to be the observer. We have to be able to see what's happening. And then when it happens again, we can maybe begin to start making some changes. But oftentimes we see it, then we want to change it, and we want to do all these things. And it's like we're trying to fit too much into the moment. So
yeah, so little baby steps, or you know, not putting yourself out there for great lengths of time until you feel like you can really take the mountain. Neurodiversity is another thing, and having a neurodivergent condition like ADHD or even autism or dyslexia, those can make you feel very different too, especially if the environment isn't accommodating or understanding of what you're going through with that. So that might make you feel like a misfit.
It definitely can. That's
again,
for sure.
Find your strengths. It's you know, and remember who you are as you kind of find your way with this, because it's really important to, and again, you come back down to finding your people, finding your tribe. And if you're having an issue with feeling like you're, you know, not weaponized for the right conversations. So, and how about this one? Economic disparity. Say you go to a poor party or a rich party, you know, I don't know what side you're on, but economic disparity, and that can being from a different financial situation, whether you're wealthier or less affluent, right? Than those around you, that can make you feel disconnected or excluded.
Definitely. It can definitely make us feel so many things. I mean, we can feel desperate too, you know, if we don't feel like we're living up to or matching our particular group, you know, able to show up and be able to be a part of the situation or the activity without this, you know, the stress, or without having to overthink about how we're going to do it. Yeah, definitely. That can definitely be an issue.
Yeah. But again, find your strengths in that, you know, if you're not the wealthy one and you're with a bunch of lawyers or judges or whoever you're with, and, you know, share with what you're good with. Right. the conversation should be about your, would bring out, your higher points.
Definitely.
So,
well, don't you think too, part of it is coaching ourselves to remember the part of us that feels like, that might be trying so bad to fit in. Maybe we don't really want to fit in. Maybe it's like we are forcing something that just, again, is autopilot that we don't even realize, if we were to back up and look at it from a bigger picture perspective, we may not even be like pushing for it or like trying for it like the way that we are.
Well, what if it's a situation, though, Jay, that you have to go into? Say you have to go to that party with the judges and the lawyers and everything, because you're now part of another group that really that you want to be able to do that. So it would be more like finding the areas inside yourself that believe in yourself, so that you can do those parties and actually find ways to enjoy them.
Definitely. Well, and I mean, it's the part of it too is our practice, like setting the stage so that way we're ready. If we are going to go into an environment like that we know we're vulnerable or uncomfortable, it's like, what do we need to do, like you said, to get in touch with that deeper, stronger, braver part of us? And then also, what are the things we can do that could actively possibly help us? Some spiritual tools out of our toolbox, kind of a thing.
Active listening, being yourself. Be open to new experiences, so self-reflection is also helpful going into it. There's just a lot of different ways you can build yourself up for kind of that situations like that, and start, really think about starting small. But there's you can also seek support. Jane, I can give you some tips too if you want to call us. So, because there's just no reason why you shouldn't be able to do what you want to do when you want to do it, so you've got to be able to, have your tools ready if you need them at hand.
And I have to say, being patient and kind and considerate with yourself in this process, even though they may not feel, like readily available things to offer yourself, or easy to offer yourself, but I'll say, trying to kick yourself into gear, trying to make yourself fit in, all those things are not going to necessarily get the job done or be helpful. If anything, it's going to increase the stress. It's going to increase the tension and the panicky anxiety feelings when we try to continue to just add more pressure to ourselves to fit in. Is some more like, how can we learn how to be ourself in those situations and be able to handle being uncomfortable, but where we still don't lose ourself? It's like, how do we do
right.
that?
Right. To find the non-judgment part of yourself. If you want to call us and join in on the conversation, do it. You can call in on 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. Jay, if they want to add to that, I'm sure that there's probably even comments in there now, but to talk to us in the chat room, or how do they do that?
They can go over to the chat button on 1-2 Radio. That opens up a new window. Once you're there, you will see our banner at the top, and you can add your comment or question to the comment section underneath our banner, Metaphysical Conversations. And I do see Pamela. She says, good morning,
hey,
Carolyn and Jay. Joining late. Well, better late than never.
Oh,
I'm excited you're here.
Yeah. Creative or artistic personality, being highly creative or artistic, in a more conventional or practical environment, can make you feel out of sync with others. And it's probably too, if you have a creative artistic personality, it could be too that you seem to keep yourself alone a lot, right? So you do have to, you're more introverted most likely. So you have to learn how to really, practice on being with others too, so that you can, get yourself into that space and show them who you are,
Well, and it does take a bit of mental fortitude to remind yourself that when we are a bit different than the group, and we know that, and we want to be on a certain level, to be our more of our authentic self in the world. Part of it is like how we coach ourselves to be able to get through the transition, because it is a transition, and it isn't something that we can just like a light switch turn on or turn off, or like a timer for our sprinklers where we just set them and then we forget it. It's more of something that we have to be willing to actively participate with on the regular within our life while we're making that change, while we're getting ourselves from one way of being to another way of being, and like all the way through that process, and understanding that it does not normally happen overnight, and expecting it to happen overnight is also just adding more pressure, more stress, more of all those things, anxiety, that are unnecessary, because it's not like, if we were more real with ourselves, we know it's not going to just happen overnight. Something that we've been doing for the past 30 years over and over again daily, to think that we're going to get up and totally do it differently tomorrow without any issue, without any resistance, without any kind of anything, is like, I feel like setting ourselves up for non-success. And so, you know, how do we set up for success? Sorry, go ahead.
One of the things you can do too is remember you're not alone, and calling all angels. You can call in your angels. You can, ask for help to that everything goes, that you have a blast, but just remember to do a little mantra or something beforehand, so that you can really remember that, you're part of the whole, universe and an important part of it.
And it's true. That's so important. That's a huge important part. Asking for help from the seen and the unseen, because it's like a hands-off universe. It's the universe really, really respects us, our power, our authority, whether we understand that we have all those things or not. And so it is waiting for us to ask for help. In fact,
right. And it's not. I'm not afraid of doing a reading anymore. But I always call in God, Goddess, all that is before every reading, even on the phone. Just I always do it, because it's like you have to know that it's not you. That you're all just part of it. You're needing to have every possible help you can have from the universe in order to, for you and Ajay to help that person. To be there for that person in the way that they need you. They need to hear the right word, the right sentence, and the right letter.
Totally. Well, and I mentioned this whole time thing, because it's one of the things that's really frustrated me in this process, where it all just seemed to take way longer than I felt like it needed to, or that it should. But just because I thought that didn't mean that it happened any faster or went any faster. It kind of has its own organic pace. When we're changing, when we're transitioning, when we're growing, when we're expanding, and we have our own human idea of how all that should go and how long it should take. And I feel like we are usually severely underestimating the length of time and like the work involved. So if we kind of stop doing that to ourselves the best way we can, and just be in it while we need to be in it for as long as we need to be in it, and more like, how do we set our mental fortitude for that? And not like keep getting caught up in that, like, we should be here, we should be there, why aren't we here, why aren't we there yet, and be able to work with that. Like, what's that inner voice? Is it our inner critic? Are we just continuing to go down that road, as letting our inner critic go crazy, or are we learning how to turn it into our inner critic, into our own best friend, into our biggest cheerleader?
Yeah, using the reward system there when you do feel like you've made the right choice in however you've done something, and use a reward system for yourself also. Unusual life choices can get you to where you're feeling like a misfit. Making life choices that different from societal expectations is a drag, because you feel like you're an odd man out if you haven't married, or you haven't had children, or choosing an unconventional career path. So unusual life choices can sometimes make you feel like a misfit, and it's, again, focusing on why you made those life choices and where you are and what you have to offer. So you focus on yourself and your strengths and that's how you build your confidence.
Yes. And you had a key word there, build your confidence.
It's a
process. It isn't this thing that all of a sudden there's just suddenly the most confident person on the earth walking. I wish it were that easy, but I so far have not found that to be the case.
Another way to feel like a misfit is having physical or health differences. I'm supposed to meet with this gal who's written books on how to be with a chemo person going through chemo, and she's going through chemo, so I have to meet with her because we wanted to discuss publishing, and so apparently there's a certain way that I should be with her, and I guess I'll be finding out because she's going to bring her book, and so
that raises a great point because there is still, don't forget, I know you're not forgetting this, Carolyn, but just in general, where we can be so willing to accommodate the other person and forget about making sure that we're accommodating our own needs and our own wants in the situation. And in a situation like this, where you want to be considerate and you want to feel like knowledgeable, and she has the book, and so, and she's also going through it, so she could be looked at as the expert. But also, I feel it's like, there still is, you're still you. You still have your perspective. She's still her. She has her perspective. And there's also your authentic self. And you want to be able to show up and be your authentic self while also being able to hold this space for this woman.
Yeah. And, it's an unusual situation because it's like, okay, you're going through chemotherapy and that's pretty intense. And I don't really know you, but, we've decided to talk about publishing and stuff. And now I'm finding out too that not only might I look at her a little bit differently because she's at a place in her life where it's probably really scary, and so now I realize that I have to, she has rules set based on her published books, right? So that makes it even more difficult to kind of traverse, to get through and really make sure that you don't do something that's not written in her book. So it's kind of an unusual outing that I'm going to have.
Yeah. So, well, and I mean, it definitely is. I understand wanting to come in softly and to understand where she's coming from, but also it's still her perspective. It may bring a lot of wisdom to you and to others who might read her book, for example. But then there's also still like how it hits you, like how that knowledge and wisdom speaks to you. Like how does, and being able to have your own authentic response. So it just is like one of those situations that requires special attention.
Yeah, for sure. It really does. So another way that you might feel a little bit of a misfit too is just having an unconventional work style and maybe preferring to work independently, creatively, or unconventional hours even can create a sense of not fitting in with traditional work environments. But unconventional hours, sometimes I'm up at 2 or 3 a.m. working, and and somebody says, okay, well, why don't we go for a happy hour at 8 o'clock? Oh my god, that's my bedtime. So that's where you might feel like a bit of a misfit, because it's really hard to all of a sudden switch your hours that you're sleeping and fit in to what others are wanting you to do.
It's true. It's true. It's I feel like in those situations, it's like we got to remind ourselves, that the way we are being different, we're not just being different to be different for the sake of it, but it's with purpose, and just reminding ourselves what that purpose is, so that way we aren't subconsciously trying to fit in or to make a change to smooth things out or people please, or, you know, any of those things that are reactionary, that might've been a habit for us, but that we don't just go into that habit, that we allow ourselves to be present to the moment and then decide, okay, where are we going? What are we going to do from here? And then what am I going to do from here?
present in the moment is really important when you're feeling like a misfit, because the one thing that you do have the ability to do is shut up and listen. You know, that's one of the things you can do is just like take it in here, because you can't, that's really a gift to really listen to somebody. Right. And if you can listen, understand what they've said and feed back to them, your response to that, it's going to make you feel a lot more comfortable with wherever it is that you are, in the group. So listening is so important. That's right. Being present, as Jay said. How about being a deep thinker? If you enjoy deep philosophical conversations and introspections while others around you prefer lighter, more surface level interactions, how's that going to make you feel?
I know that one is a challenging for me. Like I know how to do small talk and talk about the weather and, you know, that those little things that we can ask each other. But honestly, that's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'd rather get into the meat of what's going on or whatever the situation is beyond all the small talk. Personally, that's me personally. But I also understand that not everybody wants to go deeper. Not everybody wants to go into those areas. So it's like being able to navigate that and being able to, quote, find my people, find my tribe, those that do want to have those kind of conversations and have them with them, and not try to thrust them on people that really aren't interested in having them.
There's a lot of, I just had a conversation with a deep, really deep thinker, and she's reading 5 books a day, right? And she's just really, and she complains a lot about not being heard by other people. And because she's got, you know, because she thinks in a different way and she's not going through the same thing. So that's her complaint. And so sometimes I'll listen to her about the studies that she's doing, and they're pretty intense. I mean, from financial reading, you know, of people who are, you know, famous in Russia to just Gary Zukav, you know. And so you have to really, it's like really riding a big roller coaster with her sometimes, because she can go into so many really deep areas, and you have to like follow along and again shut up and listen when something like that is coming down. And she's feeling like she's a misfit because she can't, because no one's hearing her where she's been. So you're being called on to listen, right?
Absolutely. And think of it this way too, like the more, especially in like a case like that where you're educating yourself, it is going to set you apart at some point. And part of it is understanding that too. So that way it doesn't feel like I'm being ostracized because I'm smart. It's more my intelligence or the information is setting me apart. Knowing it, understanding it, bringing it in and making it my own is what's setting me apart. So to just understand that it's not a personal thing at that point, it's more of how you're choosing to spend your time versus how other people are choosing to spend their time. And then it there's a difference, and that difference is leading somewhere. And then in this situation, you notice it. So it's great to still maintain that bigger picture perspective the best you can in those situations, so you don't take all that personally and own it like it's your fault, and more just like, understand that yes, you're there and it may be uncomfortable, but bring a certain level of understanding the best way you can to it. So that way you're not just sitting trying to fix a problem that really isn't a problem. It's just requires your understanding.
Yeah. Requires you for being present and being there to hear it. So, we kind of touched on this with sexual orientation and gender identity, but experiencing discrimination is another one. And so you want to so facing discrimination based on race, gender, religion, and I guess you did touch on religion a little bit there too, or other aspects of your identity can make you feel marginalized and like a misfit in certain settings. So experiencing discrimination is another one that makes you really feel unique again. Focus on the positive attributes that you've got going. Maybe your positive attribute is that you're gay, or that you love to be a Satanist, or whatever it is you're wanting to do, right? So focus on your positive aspects that you feel are positive in your life, and just stick with that, right? And share it, because no one can share you better than you.
Well, and it's kind of the way I see it right now is a numbers game a little bit too, where you may not identify with the people that are around you, but in a world of close to 8 billion people, you're not going to be the only one. And with technology, it's easier and easier to find our misfit friends and fellow tribe members. But it's also understanding that, when we do step outside that box of fitting in, so to speak, that who we do fit in with is gonna, like, that number is gonna go down. And that isn't because of a problem. It's just the more we go in any particular direction, it's going to whittle down, like, the number of people that are gonna be there with us. Not a bad thing, just something to understand, so that way, if you do feel like you're still trying to collect people, that you can temper that, that you can, it isn't about having a particular number of friends. It's more quality over quantity, in my opinion.
Yeah, so it's finding your environments and your communities, and really nurturing them, and appreciating them, being grateful that you have them, because the more you put that energy out, because you have found somebody and are thankful for it, the more you're gonna get that type of person around in your life too, so that you can be mirrored on in a better way, like this gal who is really intelligent. She needed a mirror, and sometimes you have to like really work at it. So you have to because she's a valuable friend, and you have to really work on her feeling heard too. So it's a dance, right? Yeah, you let the other people do the step, and you have to do a step too. So,
That's a great point. That's a great
yeah.
analogy, because oftentimes I know, at least the people pleaser version of me, I would try to plan a few steps ahead and try to either cover those steps or answer those questions or whatever it was I was trying to do to avoid the interchange
Yeah.
and avoid, in essence, the dance. And the dance, though, is part of us having our human connection. It's like allows me to show up and be me. It allows the other person to show up and be them. And I'm not trying to, control them. They're not going to control me when we can have a conversation. But the people pleaser version of me would want to control it because I'd want to maintain control of the situation. And so I would already, in advance, be trying to avoid certain parts of the dance. But that wasn't being fair to that other person. I was in essence taking them out of the equation, and I thought I was overly incorporating them into the equation, but in essence I was taking them out by making all those decisions myself without actually talking to them and having that dance.
Ooh, very good. Very good point. Is there anyone in the chat room that's wanting to add to their conversation here?
Let's see. Remember, everybody, Facebook is very challenging and it likes to play with us. And I'm kidding, it's but it does
Yeah.
make you change from all comments, or excuse me, it makes you change from top comments, and you need to change it to all comments in order to see them. And Pamela says this is hitting home for sure, this particular topic.
Hi, Pamela.
Alicia says, and actually, I don't know if I said, Pamela says, good morning, Carolyn and Jay, joining late. Oh, yeah, we did, because I said better late than never. But
yes, we're
glad you're here, Pamela. And Alicia says, the problem is for me is that I have absolutely no interest in small talk. I hear you.
Yes, I'm
not a big fan of it either.
However, I guess in that case, when you get a person doing small talk, is there something in that person that needs to be heard because they're not they don't have the ability to do in depth, and maybe you're being requested to listen to that small talk. So because there's something in that person that needed you around them. So sometimes you have to look outside of yourself, even though you don't like something. Talking about investment banking in Russia was not a great thing for me either, but she needed to be heard because she's learning so much about this particular guy she's reading about. So you have to kind of you have to show up for people sometimes, and even though it wouldn't be your favorite topic, right?
Well, and I do feel it exactly, and it goes both ways. Don't forget. So. If you're the one that's more willing to accommodate, don't forget, you also, it's important for you to share what's important and valuable to you, even if the other person doesn't really find it super important or valuable.
So it's maybe in that in-depth conversation that you like, maybe you come up with something that you want to talk about with this small talk person, you know, that just kind of challenge them.
And then it's the case where, if after, you know, that moment, there really isn't a chemical reaction happening with your energies,
you can
excuse yourself from the from the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Jay, where can we get you this week?
You can get me this week over on our sister site, 12listen.com. And I'm over there daily in the afternoons and evenings usually. And if for some reason you're on and you don't see me signed on, you can click on the schedule an appointment button that lets me know that you're looking for me, and I will do my best to accommodate and make myself available. And it also gives you the ability to schedule your reading. So you can make it at a time where it's going to be most beneficial to you. And Carolyn,
I'm on 12listen 6:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Monday, except for Monday, and because I'm on the line right now, right? But again, scheduling an appointment is really it's doable, and Jay and I can be on it as quickly as possible. If we're not in a meeting or something else.
We were going to keep it a secret, but Carolyn is multidimensional. And actually, if you called right now, she'd be able to do the reading for you while she's live on the air. No, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Actually, if you would have called that 857 number, we could have done that, but you know.
True. Very true.
Yeah. Multidimensional. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Let me try it. You know, go ahead and call me on 12listen. Of course, I'm not checked in yet, so it was a nice try.
Right, we can.
All right, well, Mark Husson is up next, and so stay tuned. We've got a really great lineup this morning, and we hope you have a great week.
We sure do. It's always a pleasure being here with you all on Monday mornings, getting to wake up with you. And Carolyn and I hope that you have an amazing, amazing week. Not just Monday, but entire week. Bye, everybody.
Yes. Bye-bye.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight. With Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright. In this cosmic realm, where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.